We're about to talk to Anne Hertzberg, who is a legal advisor, an NGO monitor, an expert in lawfare. Anne, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Great to be with you.
Lovely to chat. And let's chat about the delay in the response by South Africa in the ICJ case. Let's get straight into it. Why have they delayed it?
Well, I think it's actually a cynical move, and also it reflects the weakness of their case. I think, number one, they want a delay because they saw Israel's response to the court, and they realized that they really have no case, and so they need more time to come up with something. I think that's the main thing. But the other thing is also they're hoping a delay will play into their favor, and most particularly, perhaps a change in the American administration that might be more friendly towards the court. Because right now, if the court gave a bad decision, it could lead to sanctions on court members. It could lead to sanctions on members of the South African government. And it could also lead to reduced funding for the UN. So I think for these reasons, they wanted the delay.
It's interesting, though, because, I mean, it says that the report tells us that they've asked for a delay. Well, they've been given until November 2027 to file a reply to Israel's defense of the ICJ. Now, I guess if that were to happen and they took until November 2027 and then they filed it, it could go on until 2029, 2030. This could just go on forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're looking at because, first of all, why do they need more than a year to come up with a reply? That's ridiculous. Because they were saying that their case was so clear cut. So why do they need more than a year and a half now to put it together? That makes no sense. And then the other thing is they know that, Israel, the court then gave Israel until 2029 to respond. So any decision wouldn't be until the end of 2029, early 2030. So that, I think, timing reflects the, waiting for a new government to come in the United States, perhaps.
What does that say, though, for the International Court of Justice? Because you would expect that an International Court of Justice would expect the parties to come in front of them with everything prepared.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. Israel wanted the court to rule now. They were against a further delay. One would think, why wouldn't Israel rather just delay this? Why risk getting a decision now? But I think it shows the confidence Israel has in its response. But I think it also shows the political nature of the court. I mean, we can't forget it's a UN court. So it prioritizes UN information without verification. It has no processes to test evidence or investigate like a normal domestic court does. And the judges are not really, very few of them have any actual judging experience in their home countries. They're mostly law professors and politicians, except for a very minor few, notably the one judge who is most favorable to Israel, Judge Sebatunde from Uganda, is really the only person that had any significant judging experience in her own country, which I think is quite notable.
There's been a lot of criticism here in South Africa from people who are saying that the government are spending money and copious amounts of it on a court ruling that doesn't in any way affect South Africans, yet there's poverty in the street, there's unemployment running high, there's more crime in South Africa than there is anywhere else, capital of the world in terms of murders. Thousands of people a year are being murdered, farmers are being killed. What do you think South Africa actually want to even get out of this? Or is it just that they are being backed perhaps financially by Iran?
Yeah, I mean, if I were a South African, I would be quite angry at my government for wasting all this money and resources. I think the government does have a lot better things to do, as you've laid out quite clearly. I do think, Iran was involved in this, and I think that's something that responsible people in South Africa need to conduct an investigation about, because that's quite disturbing. I think also it is quite upsetting and confusing why South Africa thinks its future lay, let's say, with Iran and China, instead of Western countries like Israel or the US, which can provide a lot of benefits to South Africa and not take advantage of it like Iran and China do. I don't think China provides a good future for South Africa. So, I think these are the types of questions that people in South Africa should be pressing to the government. What exactly do they think they're getting out of these alliances with the so-called crinks, China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea? That I don't see how that is in South Africa's interest.
And again, I mean, if in a perfect world, which clearly we're not, but I mean, in a perfect world, if peace was declared between Iran or there was an overthrow of the Iranian government, I mean, what's gone on since when South Africa originally took their matter to the International Court of Justice and what has transpired subsequently until now, perhaps it's just egg on South Africa's face if they were to withdraw it. Because at the end of the day, we're talking 2030, as you said earlier in the interview, so much can and will, I'm sure, change between now and then.
Yeah, exactly. So I again, they just seem to be making a very foolish decision, politically unwise, again, without much explanation, except I guess people, some of those people in the government that made that decision or in the ANC, it's unclear, are irrationally hostile to Israel and decided to go along with this political farce. Whether it was because Iran paid them to do so, or some of those people are ideologically aligned with Iran.
And again, I guess it's costing perhaps not as much by virtue of the strength of the shekel, the Israeli delegation, almost as much as what it's costing the South Africans to take this to the ICJ.
Yeah, and as an Israeli, I'm quite angry about that. We're fighting a seven-front war. Which is really existential. And our government, again, also instead of dealing with those important things, has to waste their time addressing this nonsense. And it's also caused an explosion. It is responsible for an explosion of anti-Semitism across the globe, which is definitely why Iran and Hamas wanted this case. Again, I would not have thought South African government was wanting to promote anti-Semitism, but that's exactly what they've done. And they've made Jews less safe around the world. So
Absolutely.
it's quite upsetting.
As a legal advisor and an expert in lawfare, when you look at the ICJ case and whichever decision this court makes, can they uphold it anyway? Would it be upheld anyway?
Well, I think the main thing it will be used for is, like most of these things, as a basis for boycotts and sanctions against Israel, Israeli companies. But again, it's also going to be used as how it's using now, where Jews are being harassed all over the globe, being called baby killers and supporters of genocide, all of these lies and nonsense, and it's an excuse for violence. So really, that's what this, if it goes against Israel, that's what's going to happen. We're going to see even more attacks on Jews globally. And the other thing, if it goes in Israel's favor, of course, the entire thing is going to die away as if it never happened. So then we would have had 5 years, more than 5 years, 7 years almost by the time a decision comes, of all of, again, all of this exclusion, boycotts, violence, anti-Israel hysteria and sentiment. That was, manufactured by South Africa for nothing.
So would Israel hypothetically have a case then against South Africa at the ICJ for what their case has brought upon the Jews of the world?
Well, I was perplexed actually when this case was brought, why the Israeli government did not countersue the South Africans for supporting Iran and Hamas. Because in essence, they lied in their materials to the court. They erased Hamas. They lied about many things. They said things that were completely false in their filings to the court that are available online and in their statements to the court publicly. And they should be held accountable. And they themselves are supporting genocide through their support of Iran and Hamas. So I do think that's a great thing to do. I think other countries should do that too and hold them accountable. Absolutely.
So we here in South Africa know all about appeals and another appeal in terms of Jacob Zuma, and then he appeals again and he appeals again. Could the same be said when eventually the ICJ make their decision against whoever it is or for whoever it is, that the other side then appeals it? And this goes on longer than half of us are going to be alive for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the appellate process would look like if there is even one in the ICJ context. So that would be something to look into. But certainly, you know, it's not going to go away. You know, if because I think what'll happen is if it does go against Israel, then there's going to be a whole host of lawsuits in other countries on this issue. And so we're just going to see an explosion of these lawfare cases. And like you said, in those contexts, there'll be lots of appeals and ways to drag it out.
And thank you so much for your time. And we here in South Africa know that the South African government already have an appeal, irrespective of what the result is, because that's what they're really good at.